Whoa. Well, I know that Pastor Joe doesn't need any introduction, but I want to give a little bit of a... Come on out here, Pastor Joe. I just want to rejoice in something that I know a lot of you have been praying for, and I've been praying for a lot, and it's really huge. As you know, Pastor Joe's had serious problems with his eyes, and he's had trouble in the one, detached retina, the other one detached. I mean, it's just been a complete catastrophe on his eyes. Back of his retinas are so damaged, and there's holes in them. And so when he does see you, he sees there's gaps and holes and all that. It's like a screen with a rip in it. If you were to look up here, we took a bunch of tears. It'd be hard to see. But the difficulty was is his eyes were swollen, and it's been, I don't know, a year. How long has it been?
Year and a half.
Year and a half. And still his pupils, both of his pupils are still dilated. So it's you see him at sunglasses in the daytime because he can't take in all that light. So his eyes are still all messed up. But the difficulty was is that when he went after this last little while ago, he was like 20, 100 and something in one eye, 20, 100 and something in the other eye. Well, it made him legally blind. It made it so he was illegal to drive. You'd see him riding his bike around because that's about all he could do because he couldn't drive anymore. He couldn't see very well. It's pretty difficult to examine some of the painting and stuff as he also a painting business owner. And so those were all very, very difficult things for him and have really impaired his life. He said, you know, he was out playing, trying to play catch with his boys, and he can't see the ball thrown at him. And so, you know, he's got a young family and all of that, and it's pretty difficult to realize this thing happening. You kind of ask yourself, why God? But I think the most beautiful thing about Pastor Joe is you know him. He's not a complainer. He's not a whiner. You would never know anything. He could be just about dying, and you wouldn't know because he just doesn't complain. He's just a man who believes God and believes you just get up and you just keep moving on. And I don't think that he's unrealistic. He's vulnerable, and there's pain and all of that. But I just have greatly admired his way that he has continued to move forward in his life and his family without any complaining or crying or maybe a little bit here and there. But I wanted to say is that he's been on trying a different diet, trying a bunch of stuff. They've been putting a bunch of shots in his eyes here lately, trying to see if they can get the inflammation and all of that down. And the praise report is this. I think in his really bad eye, you're now what, 20?
I can pick up some of the 20/30 line if you give me some time. I can kind of see.
So it's 20/70 in one eye, 20/30 in another eye?
Yeah, with correction. And
so 20/70, 20/30. Well, 20/30 allows him to drive again, and so what it does, it gives a little bit of his life back. And I just want to thank the Lord, Father. We just thank you for the healing that you've done in his life. We thank you for answering our prayers. Mm-hmm. But now, Lord, we ask that you continue to even do miraculous things. We pray that where the gap is in the screen and the back of his eyes and the retina, we pray that you would just simply fill it in, Lord.
Yes.
You can bring tissue out of nowhere, and you can bring healing that comes from the very throne of God. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to complete this healing. We are so grateful and so thankful, Lord, for what you've done in his life. And we're thankful for how you're healing him. And we pray now, Lord, for a complete and total healing, Lord, in both eyes. But we thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Phil.
Thank you, Jesus. Woo!
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your prayers. And I do receive that. Thank you. And I know there are people here this morning, people that are watching online, people that will maybe hear this later, people that are gone that will be back in a week or two that have more serious issues than I do. And I am very compassionate. And pray that God would heal you first if your issues are worse than mine, especially. My goodness, may he touch and heal. And he's able, and sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. And when he does, may he get the glory. And when he doesn't, may he get the glory, because his ways are higher than ours. And he is good. He is love, and I believe that. So, amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we read our scripture? Just one simple passage of scripture that a lot of us are familiar with, Proverbs 29:18. Here we go. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You may be seated. I guess since we're talking about vision here for a moment, you know, there's been times I've attempted to think where there isn't a vision, the people perish means I shouldn't drive. You know, that'd be bad. And but that's not what that's talking about. And we'll get into that here a little bit. I do hope you had a great Christmas, and we did. We had some great family time. Went and saw some of Suzanne's family in Santa Rosa, and we had just a fantastic time. But I tell you, also, there's no place like home. We are so blessed to be here, so blessed by the church family that we have, so blessed with all of that comes with it. And pretty much every opportunity that we have that we're away, one of the big things it is a profound reminder of how blessed we are. But I do hope you had a great Christmas. Listen to Pastor Dan's message from Christmas Eve, which is beautiful. God with us. The greatest need of the human heart is the presence of God and Emmanuel, God with us. A great reminder for this season. And also, of course, it's so fun to watch children open gifts and everything over Christmas. And I know a lot of us got to see that. And what a delight. What an absolute delight. We were getting ready to leave town. And Pastors Phil and Carrie, we exchanged gifts with them. And as we were leaving, Pastor Phil said, take this with you. And he gave us some money. And he said, this is for ice cream kids. And so we called it the Dairy Endowment. And so we kept sending Pastor Phil pics of the kids eating ice cream as the Dairy Endowment was nibbled away. But it was a lot of fun on the trip. And it's just great to see the delight in kids' hearts. We were talking last night around the dinner table. And Judah, I don't know how this really came up, but Judah said, I have two dreams. And, you know, everything stops when a kid says that. At that age, you just go, what is coming here? This is going to be profound one way or the other, you know. And you want to get that. Wait, hold up. Mom gets the phone out, you know. Okay, go, you know. But I have two dreams. He goes, first, I want to play in the NFL, specifically for the Seattle Seahawks. Okay. And he goes, second, and so now you're going, wow, what an intro. What's next? Second, I want a memory foam mattress topper. Totally serious. Okay, those two things happen, he'll be living the dream, baby. That's it. He goes, those are so comfortable. You know, that great. I said, Jude, I don't know how it all works, but I tell you what, if the first happens, I think the second will be okay. You know, you'll be able to afford that. That should be just fine. You know, sometimes it's the simple things that really are a delight. And so we've got the big dreams and the simple things, and often those two things are like ships passing in the night. Never the twain meet, but sometimes they do collide. And I had that happen here recently for me, and that's kind of the intro and kind of the point of this as we talk about vision. And so follow this here for just a moment. I'm going to talk about coffee here for a minute. About 15 years ago, when I was at CCF, a student came up to me after CCF. Because she was disgusted with my taste in coffee. And she said, I roast my own beans, and you really need some coffee game help, you know? And I'm like, well, okay, thank you, you know? And one of the things you always got to be careful of when you talk with college students is there's going to be at least 10 people that know more about what you're talking about than you do, really, you know? And then another 20 that think they do, and it's just part of it all, you know? And that's the way you go. So you've got to be really careful. You know, if you don't have decimal points when you talk about percentages and everything, then you're going to miss it and everything. It's amazing. It's the first time I met someone who roasted their own beans. Since then, we got several people. Greg does a fantastic job, and you can smell his coffee. You walk in here in the morning, and it's amazing. Now, just in case you think that this whole coffee thing is out of proportion and all that, okay, Karen Blixen, who's the author of Out of Africa and other classic works of literature, here's what she said. And she had a coffee plantation at one point in her life. She's from Denmark originally, and here's what she said. Coffee, according to the women of Denmark, is to the body what the word of the Lord is to the soul. All right? So let's keep that up there. There's some people taking pictures of that. I get you. I get you. I see that. All right. she was raised a devout Christian, and so she clung to these two things. This sums up her faith, which I think is kind of beautiful. So over the last, over the holiday season, I said on purpose, just bear with me, over the last several weeks, I've been, it's been a kind of a season of coffee for me, in a lot of ways. It's been kind of fun, some Christmas gifts and that sort of thing. So here's a little sampler of the samples that I've had over the last little bit, and I'm gonna go kind of backwards. Just recently we got back from our trip, and I have waiting for me this little bag of coffee from this little boutique roaster in Riggins, Idaho. Bumped into this guy, a Christian family, and their kids run the Young Life in the area there, and they're kind of semi-retired. They travel the world and actually visit bean farmers, bean growers, and kind of pick the best beans and everything and roast them there in Riggins, Idaho. Who knew? You know, it's amazing. Salmon and coffee in Riggins. And so I had some, it was amazing stuff. We were down in Santa Rosa, and some of my relatives there, their mission was for us to find the best coffee in Santa Rosa. And so that was kind of a fun thing. We went to Linnea Cafe, had their espresso roast. And we've got this little thing up here that from the back of one of their bags of coffee. And it uses verbiage to describe coffee that really is inappropriate. It's just so romantic and over the top. I think what happens is it's sort of like, you know, with the paint thing. If you take some different tints of paint, little pigments, little bits of color, and throw it in something, mix it all up, and you open it up and see what happened. And then it's somebody's job to name that color and try to make it popular. And I don't know if they just grab words out of a dictionary, you know, but they're going, you know, orchestral orchid. And someone said, it's not even purple. And you go, that's not the point. Okay. We're looking for an emotion here. It's a hint. There's undertones. And this coffee, that just describes the roast there. At the very bottom, they tell you how you should prepare it and all these different things and a bunch of verbiage that Greg's probably very, very familiar with. It's just crazy amazing. So tried that. It was pretty awesome. Went to Acre Coffee Roasters down there. It was great. The Angry Goat Roasters in Santa Rosa. I don't know. I have nothing to about anyway, but it was great coffee. And then Vito's Espresso from Doma, which is roasted up and up here, just north of here, which a little area roaster that I think is pretty amazing. They have another roast called Earth Roast. Had recently this amazing. And then the 2017 special Christmas blend from Starbucks with aged Sumatra in it. Pastors Phil and Carrie got us some of that for anniversary not long ago. And so that's exciting. I've been kind of sniffing the bag a little bit and kind of go, oh, you know, and can't wait to get that going. I got my coffee cup right over there, but I left it behind. It's not the point, although it might sound like it. Anyway, and then last but not least, okay, I tried the blonde roast. I'd like a lighter coffee roast. The blonde roast from Phoenix Roasters in Atlanta. And so here's what happened. In November, the staff pastors went over to Kirkland, Washington, to Church Home, which used to be the City Church, yes. Pastor Judah Smith and a great church there. They're hosting the Catalyst Conference. And so we're there at the conference, and they said there's free coffee the whole time. Just go by and get coffee, and these people were pouring this coffee. Well, free and good don't usually go hand in hand, you know, but it's free. And so you go, I'll try it. And some of you might be thinking there might be an addictive issue here, and not at all. I just want to let you, yeah, not at all. It's way beyond that. And so anyway, we're having I've got an IV at home. It's amazing. But anyway, so free coffee. So I had some. I was pretty impressed. So I started talking to this guy about their coffee and everything. And do they do a lighter roast, a blonde roast, and everything? And he's like, yeah. He goes, you know, the guy you need to talk to, the CEO is here. And his name is Brian Holland. And you need to talk to him. So I waited in for a minute, talked to Brian, and introduced myself. And we talked for a minute. I said, what's the deal? And Phoenix Roasters from Atlanta, you know, he goes, I know, it's kind of strange, you know, but the whole idea, Atlanta burned down a while ago and it rose from the ashes, kind of the Phoenix thing. And so they want to see people's lives come up out of the ashes, a kind of big picture thing with a company. And so that's why we call it Phoenix Roasters and everything. And he goes, here's the deal. Here's how this whole thing got going. He said, it was a little over 20 years ago. He said, my father was on a plane. He was getting on a plane in Europe. And he was finishing up his career as a very successful businessman. All right. Very, very successful. His final deal was about $100 million. And again, this is 25 years ago. And so he gets on a plane to come back to America, finishing his career kind of at the peak, all done. And what a career. It's amazing. And going to coast sail into retirement. And he sits on down on the plane. And as often happens, there's an empty seat next to you, which is, you know, sometimes a minor crisis. Like, what's going to happen in the seat next to me, you know? What's going to go on here? Is this going to be the, you know, screaming child? Is this going to be, you know, what's going to happen here? And all that. He's kind of wondering about that, but not too concerned about it because he's done. And even if he has a little bit of a messy flight back to America, not a big deal. He wasn't prepared for the crisis that was about to happen in his life. All right. Because what happened is everything was kind of finishing up. Here comes the person to sit in the seat next to him. And it was the one, the only, none other than Mother Teresa. Okay. He's like, you know, what do you say? You know, and so he has no idea what to say. You know, kind of like, hi, you know, you must be, you know, I mean, you know, yeah, you want to be careful with it. You know, I get it all the time. No, I'm not, you know, or whatever, you know, but it really was Mother Teresa. And they start talking and it isn't long before she asks him this question. And I don't know why. I think she probably asked this because she meant it, and it's crazy. And this messed with me when he told me the story. But you also think about it, this would be a great way to get the person next to you shut up, because I think that's what happened. She said, "So tell me, Mr. Holland, what have you done that matters?" Now the real crisis hit, you know. He's done. He's flying back. You know, he's partying in his heart. I don't know. He's probably got wine coming or whatever, you know, as the flight's getting ready to take off. I don't know. And he's literally speechless, does not know what to say. And, just the whole thing ate at him the whole way back to the United States as they're flying. And so his son, Brian, is telling me the story and saying, "So what we want to do, we call this coffee that matters. Coffee that matters. So here's what we're trying to do with this whole thing. We're taking something that a lot of people are drinking every day, and we've got what we call this cycle. Okay, they actually visit the farmers up in the mountains, and they pay them about four times what fair trade pays. All right, so that they're doing well. And then they sell the coffee in the United States. They roast it, sell it, mostly to churches. They have a couple of coffee shops in the Atlanta area, and they're funding church plants. They're funding missions work. They're trying to get people off the streets. They're helping fund efforts to end the exploitation of children, all that. And he goes, "The whole mission with this whole thing is that we would serve coffee that matters. What have you done that matters?" Mr. Holland, his dad had the successful job and career, but he had no vision. He had no vision. And so he began looking for one. A simple idea was born, and something that matters has happened since. You see, vision changes everything. Vision changes everything. And this is very, you know, poignant in my own life right now, but vision changes everything. And when it's challenged, it can even bring a crisis in our life and help us to ask some very important questions. We got this little video I want to take a look at. Vision can be a crisis situation. Watch his glasses. Okay, they're moving. Not good. Skydive, yeah. Doing fine. Uh-oh. Those are prescription glasses, prescription goggles. Skydiving, and he cannot see now. They're beating him all around the face. He had bruises and everything when this was all done, as his prescription goggles are beating him on the head, and he can't see. Bunga. Trying to help. Do something. What am I going to do? I don't know. This bad. There they go again. I'm out. I'm done. Pull the cord. little crisis. Skydiving, can't see. And we got a bead on where the ground is. Could use a little help over here, you know? Altimeter. No good. You know, when do I? And you just see this, like, I'm done. You know, pull on the, we're done. Parachute, deploy it. I got a crisis here. Where there is no vision, just read this earlier, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, I started looking into this. I've done some research in this before, but never really looked into it in some depth. And this is big time what God put on my heart. Again, Mr. Holland, no vision. A crisis at the end of his career, as it's wrapping it all up, and going, what have I done that matters? And I believe God wants us to consider the year ahead and what will matter. Okay, vision does change everything. So you look at this in the Hebrew and study these words out. The word for vision in the Hebrew is kazon. Okay, and here's what it means. Divine communication or contact from God to man. Divine communication, this is from God, contact from God to man. Where there is no vision, where there isn't this intersection, where there isn't this interaction, this discourse between the two, God and man, that's the kind of vision that's being talked about here. In some translations, it's referred to as a prophetic vision, okay? Same thing, but often when we think of a prophetic vision, we're thinking, okay, that's that guy's job, all right? But really, the essence of this, as you study it out, is this is all of our job, okay? This isn't like the Old Testament, hey, Moses, you go hear from God, we'll stay here, you figure it out. This is all of us need to have this direct contact, this divine communication that happens between us and God. Where that isn't happening, the people perish. The Hebrew word for perish there is para, which means empty, vacant, and without restraint. Now, other translations say the people perish. It says the people have no restraint. But in the essence of this, as I was studying out and everything, what's more important there is the people are empty. There is a vacancy there, and that leads to the lack of restraint. It's empty. I've got nothing to guide me, so now I have no restraint. God's goodness isn't tethering me to him and his purposes. I'm done. There's room at the end, okay? There's nothing that's really holding me back. I'm not filled with the presence of God. I have no vision from God. I have no purpose from God. I'm empty, vacant, and restraint is gone. Now the search begins for meaning. Where there's no vision from God, we're empty, vacant, without restraint. And then it goes on to say, but he that keepeth the law, happy. See, law, most of us are familiar with that to some degree. But I love this too, digging into this some more. Because when we hear law, we think, okay, these are the divine do's and don't do's, okay? But the law, the essence of this, the Hebrew word Torah, instruction, direction, guidance, code of principle or law. He that keeps the instruction, the direction, the guidance that comes from this connection with God, happy is he. This isn't, I'm being strictly adherent to the must-dos and don't-dos, okay? This is way more personal than that. This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is his divine connection that happens, and it's my delight then to follow what he puts in my heart, what he speaks to my soul. And then happy is he, fairly straightforward, except it's a little bit underinterpreted, as is the case, or the Bible would be so thick we couldn't carry it around even on a smartphone. Happy, the Hebrew word Esher. And what it means is blessedness. Oh, happy. It involves intensive exclamation, all right? This is so happy that you can't even keep it in. All right. Something so big. It's like the kid opening the gift and they can't even contain it. They run around, whatever, whether they're more excited about the box than they are what's in it or whatever, you know, all the stuff that kids do. This is so happy that it can't be contained. And there must be an exclamation that comes. Whoa! Oh, happy is the person that keeps that instruction that comes in the presence of God. As he fills us, and there's no more vacancy and emptiness in our soul. The Expositor's Bible, this is H.B. Horton, here's what he says. Vision is direct contact and communication between God and man. The law is the result of that contact. I love that. There's this personal thing that this relational thing that happens. The law is the principle, the guidance, the interaction, the result of this communication. And now this is how I'm going to live. And it is the delight of my heart. The law is the result of that contact. And so he translates it this way, R.F. Horton. Where there is no living revelation, no perceived contact between man and God, there the bonds which hold society together are relaxed and broken. But he that holds by the revelation that has been given, obeying the law, so far as it has been presented to him, happy is he. All of a sudden, everything works. Everything works. So I've got five simple points, quick points on vision. And so that we might look at 2018 and embrace that which matters. The first is this. Vision is corporate. Vision is corporate. It's God's design, and I think most of us understand this pretty well, that we wouldn't be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. That we're supposed to gather together as a body of believers, forsaking not the assembly together of ourselves. And so vision needs to be corporate. If our vision is only as big as ourselves, then it is sadly lacking. The answer to Mother Teresa's question, what have you done that matters? If the answer is only as big as self, it's radically insufficient. He can go, well, you know, I bought myself a nice house. You know, I got a big retirement account. Okay. It would have been an insult to Mother Teresa's whole life to answer that in that context. Okay. Vision is corporate. Vision is bigger than me. Vision is something that I'm part of, and I'm looking at the whole. Ease and comfort are the companions of a purposeless people. When we have no purpose, ease and comfort set in, and they're ultimately poisonous to us. Meaning is found where there is a common goal worthy of personal sacrifice. Meaning is found where there's a common goal worthy of personal sacrifice. To sacrifice is to give up something we love for something we love more. And if we don't have something we love so much that it's worth sacrificing lesser things, then we need to grab a hold of a bigger vision, a corporate vision, a vision that's bigger than me, understanding the whole that God has made me, us, part of. Vision is fundamentally corporate. Please do be praying for our pastors. As they are shepherds, they're people who love God and love His people. Pray that God would continue to speak to them for the corporate vision for this church, that they would be led by the Spirit of the living God as we look to accomplish the purposes that He has for us as a church in 2018. We are crazy blessed. Love you, pastors. Thank you. God bless you and guide you. Second, vision is personal. Vision is personal. We must foster a relationship with God where there is a life-giving and life-changing impartation from Him to us. Vision is personal. I can't just take someone else's vision and apply it to myself. Someone else's personal vision and go, hey, that sounds great. I'm going to make that mine. A great example of that, you ever try to wear someone else's glasses, you know? It just doesn't work. You know, if I tell my kids, oh, man, this is amazing. This helps me see so much better. And what do they want to do? Let me try. You know, they put them on. They go, ah, you know, they go, yeah, they're not for you, you know? Praise God. You know, you're okay. You're doing better than that. Someone else's vision will never suffice for the vision that God would give us in His presence. But we must take the time, we must set aside the time to draw near to Him and ask Him, God, what is it that You want to do with this life, with Your life, oh God? Vision. We need a personal vision from Him. I've been praying about that, seeking God for that over these last, about this last week and a half, 2 weeks, and it's been neat what God's been speaking to me. So those are the first two things. Then third, excuse me, vision expires. Vision expires. It has an expiration date. I think of the Troll family buttermilk pancake recipe, and I love it. Curtis says, you want buttermilk, especially if it's just turned the corner a little bit. That gives it a little bit of kick, you know, and that's kind of a buttermilk. You want it, he goes, look at that expiration date, and just past it. You might even leave it out overnight and, you know, what happened, whatever. And understand the way this recipe is supposed to work. Now, I hope that doesn't discourage you from eating at the Troll's house because they make amazing food. In fact, I know when we talk about coffee and the ladies from Denmark, you think about people who love coffee and Danish pastries. Are you kidding me? Of course that's going to work. You know, it's all you need. Anyway, there's some things you go, okay, this gets about what vision has an expiration date. You don't want to let it go a little bit too long. It expires. We've got to be seeking God for a fresh vision. Vision must be fresh. If we just go, hey, this is kind of what worked 10 years ago, God spoke something to me and I'm still going by that. No, things change. We change. Praise God. Things are shifting. God, what is it that you want to do in me today? You spoke something maybe powerful to me 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, last week even. But what is the vision that you have for me today? We can't live in the past going, that was great back then and I'm done. Vision expires and it's time for fresh vision. People start to gather around fresh vision. Fresh vision compels us. We're drawn to it. The energy, the enthusiasm that comes with that. When we can tell that people have been in the presence of God, there's been that communication with Him. There's not a vacancy and emptiness in their souls. They've got something full and they're full of fire. The fire of God's been poured out on them, even as we sang in worship, and God's opening up the doors for all that He wants to do. Then there's fresh vision. We can't live on yesterday's vision. It expires. We've got to have fresh vision in us. I think all the time about, we did CCF on Ice, about, I think probably my first one I went to. We had all-you-can-eat pizza. It was amazing up in Spokane. And, you know, being a college guy, your challenge is to eat like 8 times what you paid for. I don't know why we committed ourselves. So I ate and ate until I was ready to die. My belly button went, I'm like, I'm done. You know, so I would hear a little bit like that. And the goose is cooked and we did all that. And so I'm like almost sick, you know, walking out of the pizza place going, oh, too much, you know, too much. And then there was a bread factory right next to us and they were in the middle of baking their bread for the next day. And it stopped me in my tracks and I began to salivate. And so then I'm slapping myself. Stop it. Stop it. You're sick. You know, don't get excited about this food. You know, it's going to kill you. You know, just a minute ago, you swore to never eat again. And now you're salivating. What's wrong with me? You know, Pastor Phil will talk about it later, but what's wrong with me? You know, there's something wrong. I know you've got ideas. Help me later. But what's going on? When fresh bread, something fresh is happening inside us. It changes everything. Vision expires and we need fresh vision from God. Fourth, vision inspires. Vision inspires. About this time last year, I was praying about our little paint company, Fos Painting, and saying, God, what is it that you'd like to do? I'm part of Pastor Kerry's small group, building better businesses. And the whole idea is going, what is it that God wants to do with this? And kind of like the coffee that matters, how is it that we can help see the work of God expanded, grow through what we're doing as businesses and everything? And it's neat. Amazing people in that small group with great hearts for God. And so I was praying, God, what is it you want to do? In 2017, and you spoke some stuff to me that really challenged me and everything. And I think this is what God wants to do. And it had financial ramifications and everything and all that. And seemed massive, huge, crazy. And here we are the last day of the year. And it happened. And I'm just kind of blown away still. That happened. And then just in case you look at me going, well, that's kind of a faithless thing for a pastor to say. I know. I get that, okay? I'm just telling you, sometimes it stretches you, you know? And in fact, we're doing our last meeting for the small group, looking ahead at 2018 a little bit, and I was sharing with everybody about man, you know, just to even have the same faith for that thing specifically in 2018 is a real stretch, just for the same thing that God did. And Christian Vance was there, and he's like, what, bro? It already happened. And so how could you? I go, I know. Okay, Christian. He's like, I don't get you, man. I'm like, I know. I don't either. You know, it's confusing stuff. But when God drops something in your heart that's going to take the miraculous, it stretches you. And you start praying in a way that you never would otherwise. You're going, God, this is going to need divine intervention. Divine intervention. And that's what I need. So praying for this year. And I know that God wants, that there's fresh vision for the year ahead. And so I was praying about that, talking through that. I was talking with Isaac Wright, who owns Master's Touch, and amazing guy, amazing family. who God has blessed in so many ways and have been taking the resources they've been blessed with to do phenomenal things, to touch lives, and just the kind of people where you just go, God, the earth's not worthy. It's just amazing. And Isaac was saying, I've been wrestling with the same thing. He goes, fundamentally, cabinet making, you just build a box over and over again. And the romance is gone after a while. You're like, another box. And I said, Isaac, I totally get it. I mean, we could have mottos. Here could be our company motto for Faust Painting. Check this out. Okay, Faust Painting. Making living spaces smaller since 1999. Just a little paint, just tiny smaller, but that's fundamentally what we do. Okay, check this out. Watching paint dry since 1999. Join us in our mission! That's not vision. It's not vision at all. And so you pray about it and go, what are we going to do that will matter? What is it? Because those things are not compelling. It is a joy and delight to see your family fed on a regular basis, okay? It is. Thank you, God, for that. But we know that God has, He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. So He can do that a lot of ways. What is it that He wants to do that will bring Him glory in and through what we're doing? And so praying through that. God, what is it that will matter in the year ahead? Praying about that a lot. And God's been putting a bunch of stuff on my heart and I'm excited. Going, here's a God-breathed vision. Last, vision acquires. Vision acquires. And if you're kind of going, man, he crowbarred that in, I kind of did a little bit. Expires, inspires, and acquires. But check this out. If our lives are full of lack, if they're marked with lack, it's possible that we're pursuing our vision and neglecting God's. Where there's a God-given, God-ordained vision, resources will flow. Resources will flow. When we end a prayer with, in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. We're grabbing a hold of the passage of Scripture where Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, right? Which literally is translated, according to my will. If you pray according to my will, it will happen. If we'll align ourselves with God's vision for us, we'll see the resources flow. I think a lot of times we struggle with this sort of thing because we haven't. Maybe one of the reasons a lot of New Year's resolutions fail is because they're not God-inspired. They're not tapped into a vision that comes in the presence of God, because we're going, these are things I'd prefer to be different in my life. But it isn't necessarily something that God has spoken to me that's filled up that which would be vacant otherwise. The emptiness is gone and I'm filled with the purposes of God. God is with me. God is speaking to me. And the resources are flowing toward a God-given, God-ordained vision. Fresh vision. Last year's doesn't cut it now. What's God's vision this year for God in me, God in you, our personal relationship with Him, our connection with God? What is it that He wants to do there in our family? Perhaps being a family that's embedded, connected with the Word of God, sourced in the presence of God, serving in the house of God, all about the purposes of God. What's God's vision? Not Pinterest's or mine, but God's vision for my family, for ministry. Who is my life supposed to touch in a meaningful way? Where is my life supposed to matter in other relationships? As a part of a small group, leading a small group, what ministry will I be part of that will matter? My health. Not just so that I can take some nice pics and look good on some social media something, but is there something that I need to make a change to steward? What is it God has for me? And my job, not to climb a ladder, not just to climb a ladder, not just to go through the motions, not just to tick off the days until I get to retirement, but how is it that God will be glorified in and through what happens in my workplace? my finances. Pastor Phil shared earlier that we're supposed to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. The whole tithe. And God will pour out a blessing that we can't even contain. Can't even contain. And we'll see the goodness of God. And in case we're having faith for all of those things, the finance one in Malachi today, he says, test me in it. Test me in it. Give me the, oh yeah, God. He says, test me and watch what I'll do. And then maybe the rest will flow. So in 2018, what will I do, you do, we do that matters? Let's pray. God, we pray, be thou our vision. Be thou our vision. Jesus, be our everything. We don't want to just do the things of God. We don't want to just be about the works of God. We want to be tapped into what can only come in your presence. Not Emmanuel, God, near us. Not Emmanuel, God, for us. Not Emmanuel, God, doing stuff for us. But God with us. And we need the vision that comes from the God who walks with us. From the Jesus who understands everything that we go through. Because you went through it too. And we ask, God, that you would fill up every void in our soul. That which is vacant and empty would be filled with purpose, filled with your presence, impregnated with your promises, your passion, your purpose, oh God, that we would do that which you have for us to do, and that we'd be able to say, oh, happy am I. Oh, happy am I. As I delight to do your will, oh God. We give it to you. We surrender it to you, Lord, that you'd get the glory and we'd know the peace and joy of serving our Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, today, if you need to do some business with God, if you have yet to meet him, or you need to reconnect with him, or it's time to do some fresh business with him, get some fresh vision, of course, the altar's open. Maybe something we can pray about the day, or seek him as we move into this new year. But let's not just go through the motions and do the same old, same old. Let's tap into what will matter in 2018 so that we can look back on it and hear him say, well done. Well done. God bless you. Love you. You're dismissed.